I'm fascinated by how instruments were once sacred and now they're regarded as secular in our secularized society, because the djembe and all of these drums, in many cultures, you prayed to the spirit of the tree to give permission to get the wood, and you gave thanks to the spirit of the goat, who didn't need the skin anymore, so you used it on your drum, and so on. And how we treat them as objects, because there's a partnership between you and that. So I started to look for sacred instruments, and the one that's come in a lot from the East is the singing bowl. Used in our culture, largely in the Zen tradition, as the way of going into the silence, because its sound just lingers on and then gradually fades away, but used in a large form in the great Buddhist temples and so on. But they can. One of the disappointments of travelling to places like Thailand is that you can't hear the sound of them because they can only be played on particular festivals. So you've got a complete contextualization of the sacredness. So, you know, I'd ask, you know, can you play it? No, because it's not that festival. So that notion of collecting sacred instruments and the little Indian bells that I played earlier, which are not the finger cymbals, these, if one goes to a Sikh or Hindu temple, you will find the harmonium and the tabla playing, but many of the people in the congregation will take these out of their pockets and start playing them along, and so on, although these actually came from Buddhists and have Buddhist symbols on them. And then people in the West are beginning to rediscover sacred instruments, and this particular one, this wind chime, coming from France originally. Could be played therapeutically, and the accounts on the website show these being played in the rooms for the dying. So we're getting in the West a sense of reusing sound for therapeutic and sacred purposes and so on. And also, of course, while we're in recycling, this one which comes from South America, blended rattle, made from the hooves of the mountain goats.
Wow.
So, some people are very worried about using animal parts, but I mean, the mountain goats were dead, they didn't use them anymore, and they have this amazing musical instrument. And of course, they're so beautiful. And when would you have a chance to look at these hooves, the beauty of the mountain goats' hooves? But the interesting thing about musical instruments is that it's the most intimate relationship that human beings have with the natural world, other than consuming it. The most intimate relationship we have is eating it and turning it into ourselves. But in a sense, if we take any of these instruments, the drum can do no more than I can ask it to do, and I can do no more than the drum will allow it to do. So it's a question of how that wood and the skin interacts with me, or how these hooves interact with me. And I'm in a very close relationship with it, because, you know, we're in partnership. And so on. And I say that we could transform ecological understanding in the West at a stroke if every child who learnt the violin opened the violin case and gave thanks for the tree which had given its life for the violin, and the Chinese worker and paid a pittance to glue it all together. But we've lost all that sense of the sort of sacredness of the natural world that we're using, you know, putting bits of it in our mouth, and a clarinet, a bit of grass, basically a bit of grass and a bit of wood in our mouth, and so on, all of these things. And the notion of the sacredness of the instrument. And, you know, I say thank you to the drum for doing what I ask it to. I just ask it to help me before I play. And, of course, if we're looking at the African traditions of the djembe, you know, the drums are fed. We would say that, of course, wood needs oiling, and so on, and the strings that are holding need tightening or loosening to allow for that. But the notion that I think it goes back to, I think, one of the most dreadful things that Western culture has created, which is the notion of the inanimate.
Yeah.
For Hildegard, for Plato, everything was imbued with anima mundi, the soul of the world. So this drum has a life of its own, that table does, you know, all of it has life and vitality, and therefore we have to honour it in the same way as we do, you know, you and I honour one another. We have to honour the drum for the life that it's giving to us and so on. And we've lost all of that. We could never have committed the environmental degradation that we've done if we'd had a notion that the whole of the world is filled with the Spirit of God. So, and that I think is crucial. And musical instruments have a huge part to play in acknowledging that relationship.